Hello and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
I'm Dane, the saw head.
Okay, where'd that come from? It's fine, we'll figure it out. Sometimes I get them, folks, and sometimes I don't. Okay, Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games where we discuss our favorite hobbies, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes. What about this time?
No, we're not playing games, I can tell you that.
Nope.
Today's episode is called Perks, Skills, Attributes. Or, I like to call it...
Go ahead. Finish. Yeah.
Sorry.
Scott.
PSA.
Psa.
What did you think it was going to be called?
Designing with 2HGM3.
Oh, well. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah,
it's we'll not see. What it's called.
Yeah, okay. So, continuing this sort of, like, every other episode series.
This is how we trick them, because it doesn't say designing, so they're like, oh, thank God they're done doing that.
Thank God it's not another one.
Boom!
You idiots, and you already pressed play, and it's a felony if you stop the podcast now.
Already counts as a listen.
Yeah. We got you. We've been talking about designing a updated or new version of Afterlife. And we talked about a lot of stuff in terms of just, like, basic... the basic things that define your character, the attributes and, like, core stats last time. We settled on some stuff, and we are going to examine the difference between perks, skills, and attributes, and spend a lot of time talking about perks because we think that's the direction we're going. But we've got some, like, design ideas to work through in service of a new and better Afterlife game. Yeah. So, all right. What is the difference? One, depending on how you define it and who wrote the game, there might not be one.
Could not be one, right? That is true. So,
let me start off with something that'll be fun and strong for everybody. I'm going to just say how I hate that Dungeons & Dragons calls them ability scores. They're not fucking ability scores. Abilities are things that you can do. and every other game that calls them attributes is correct, and D&D is wrong.
Boom.
Anywho.
So there is a pretty common difference between perks and skills.
Yeah.
And attributes. So, like, perks and skills are together, and attributes...
are usually a separate thing.
Because attributes are usually, a number that doesn't change very often, and, like, informs
your abilities. To do stuff. Attributes, I'd lump attributes in, even though they're different, with something I would call core stats. And that would be, like, your, if you have... hit points in your game system. If you have a speed, a movement speed.
Mm-hmm.
If you have something like, or maybe you have a couple different movement speeds, like running, flying, climbing, whatever. So core stats, and inside of core stats, but separate from those things, is your attributes, which usually have some sort of bearing on dice rolls. And are divided into your physical and mental and combat
and
capabilities.
Every player character's got the same ones, and
usually,
NPCs usually have the same ones as well.
Mm-hmm. And they might not have the same ones as each other. Like, some games have a different set of stats for NPCs, but all NPCs are going to have the same attributes. Right? Like the Borg hacks don't give their enemies and NPCs a full suite of attributes.
That's very common, is not giving monsters and things that you fight the same
as player characters,
right?
Yeah.
Because there's too many, and you don't need all that shit for a monster. You need attack, defend, and health.
D&D and Pathfinder do, though,
because
there are games that has everyone with the same core things and on the same scale. But whatever. So
but
attributes.
In Cyborg, bad gang member A and gang member B are going to be working from the same attributes.
Yeah, they're going to have the same things, and they might be slightly different, but different number values, but they're going to have the same three things, like a hit points, morale, armor, damage. Mm,
that's actually four things.
Yeah. I counted as I said. So, typically, you've got attributes, or ability scores if you're D&D and you're fucking stupid. And then, sometimes you have both. Sometimes you have skills or perks. And so what skills do, the function of skills, typically, in the design of pen and paper RPGs, is you've got your core attributes, which is a numerical modifier to your dice roll, usually. And then you have a skill, which is an additional specific modifier to your dice roll. So, like, investigation is under intelligence. So you've got your intelligence attribute modifier. Mm-hmm. And then if the act is an act of investigation, you get to apply your investigation skill. So you're better at that than just, like, your base intelligence attribute.
Right. Something else that would, I don't know, like, recall.
Yeah.
Which I guess is kind of, well, it doesn't matter. For this example,
say, like, it's a different thing.
Recall is also under your intelligence, and investigation is. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you have the investigation skill.
Yeah.
So you're better at investigating, even though recall is still intelligence, but you don't have that skill.
Right.
So it's like macros and then, like, specifics.
You could say instead of recall, you could call it a history. Like, you know, remembering.
I was trying
stuff.
Not to call it history.
Okay. But remembering, like, maybe you're, you know, you got a plus one in intelligence. So you're not stupid, but you got, like, a plus three in investigation. So that's where, like, that's the kind of brain that your character has.
Yeah.
One that, like, likes to solve puzzles and put things together and notices clues. But
I can't remember
you've
what
actually
they
got,
ate for
like,
breakfast.
A minus two to your fucking... I don't know if you actually get negatives in D&D to your skills, but maybe, whatever. Your history. We're talking a lot about D&D. Don't worry, we'll stop soon.
Anyway, so attributes are kind of like the macro thing, and then, like, skills and perks improve on those
more specific
attributes, right?
More specific use case.
Mm-hmm.
Usually an increased bonus.
Yeah.
If it's going to come up at all, then it's an increased bonus.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you might have nothing. You might be like, do you have investigation? No. Okay, then just intelligence.
Just intelligence, right? And so, like, perks and skills function basically the same way, at least the way that we are defining them right now.
Today. Yeah.
Right? They are something that is a very specific use, and they build on previous stats, right? Attributes.
Yeah.
But I think there is an important difference that we're about to make up.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the stuff that we've been thinking about in Afterlife, specifically, you know, it benefits us. So we have defined these terms as such.
Yeah.
Perks and skills are different. Perks can be they're a little more specific, I would say, but also...
I think they can be. Mm-hmm. They have the potential to be, like, even more specific than a skill.
But they can do things skills can't.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Like, you know, a skill that is just a flat numerical bonus to a type of interaction, a type of dice roll, right? Okay, useful, and you could build a game, and you could build a character, and you could roleplay well around that. But a perk, I guess, okay, this I'm hoping this is the last time I mentioned D&D.
Okay, are you going to do...
I was going to talk about, like, feats and stuff, or some certain... like, class abilities,
right.
You know, to be able, like, oh, you get to retaliate.
Uh-huh.
You know, if someone hits you, you know, once per round, and I don't know if that's even real, but I'm sure it is.
Repose, like, or whatever.
A fighter or paladin has, at some point in their class progression, at some level, you get to, like, take the ability to, like, if someone hits you, you get a free action to hit them back.
Yeah.
Cool. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about perks. There could also be a perk that just gives you a bonus in investigation. And,
right.
You know.
So, like, perks can be just one-for-one copies of skills, but there's more freedom in perks where they can do things that skills can't because
yeah.
they can do, like, yeah, very specific situations. Like, when an attack misses you, you get to bonk them for free.
Yeah.
Or try to bonk them.
Try to bonk them. Or, you know, the ability to, like, disengage without triggering attacks of opportunity. The ability to not have to roll for certain things, like stealth or, like, climbing, maybe.
Right, mechanics toolkit or whatever yeah. In Dangerous Spaceman.
The ability to, like, depending on the structure of the game, freely pass a certain type of roll, you know, once per day or once per encounter or something. Right. Or to manipulate. Yeah. Anyway, so let's not get too in the weeds. We're talking about the difference. I feel like. So yeah.
Well, okay. So the way that Afterlife worked, the original version of Afterlife, is attribute plus skill.
Yes.
And in one of the previous episodes of designing, you know, because we can't think of anything better to do, we talked about how, like, we thought it was a good move forward to, like, unchain skills to attributes. So, like, you can use a skill on multiple attributes depending on the situation. Like, you can use your gunslinger skill to intimidate.
Yeah, or to charm somebody. Or to charm. Whatever. Yeah, put it on...
It's not only combat.
Take your skill bonus, put it on a different attribute than just shooting some guy, and use it for a different thing. We thought that was clever. We thought that was a progressive gameplay idea.
And I still think that.
Yeah.
It just wasn't executed well, or slash, like... Because the way it turned out was... people usually chose general skills like shooting, and they didn't come up with, like, a gunslinger.
Yeah,
like,
they didn't come up with anything flavorful about it. They were like, well, yeah, I have firearms training. Okay, great. So in addition to your dexterity bonus, you have another little bonus coming from your firearm. So good. If you're in a gunfight, you're going to have a plus five on everything. Great. But it wasn't serving roleplay. It wasn't making characters more interesting. It was just making characters better.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, it worked. It's not like it didn't work. But, like, I think that idea was really cool of, like, yeah, unshackling the skill to attribute so you can use your skill whenever it applies, right? And if it's starting to sound kind of like a perk, well, you know, that's where we're going.
Yeah.
But the other key thing about Afterlife we had were these, like, combat moves. We called them, like, approved actions, which is, like, a Torg.
I think it came from the drama cards in Torg, because every round in Torg on the drama cards had things that were...
Approved actions, that which you would draw...
Yeah. If you did them, it helped you keep momentum in the encounter, and you got to get more cards out of it. Anyway. So, but those were essentially perks. They were just all combat-focused. They were things like, you know, a vital blow. And these were, I think, good ideas, because these are things that characters always ask you if they can do. Like, you know, oh, I'm set up to, like, you know, take a sniper shot. I've been here, you know, waiting for my opportunity to take this shot, and I feel like I should be good at it. Okay, so the vital blow thing is here. That's why we put stuff like that in there. Is you could, you know, spend an extra action or have a slight, like, roll concession or penalty to your roll, with the trade-off being you're guaranteed to do more damage, and or you know, other, like, flavorful and, like, utility combat utility stuff.
Yeah, and, like, very situational, like sweeping attack, right? Like, if you're getting mobbed as a melee character, you can swing your melee weapon and hit multiple enemies.
Right. If you've got a melee weapon, you can hit everyone who's adjacent to you. That is a cool ability to have.
Right, and, like, each roll is harder, but you get, like, three attacks out of one.
Essentially, or as many guys as there are around you. And if you do it good, you can really, like, flip the table on a combat encounter.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Essentially, what we're steering towards is we like those things... and feel like we can do away with skills, because let's revisit the gunslinger skill idea. We could have a perk that's under, like, the personality category,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, it allows you to use your weapon proficiency, whatever form that takes,
mm-hmm.
in a social situation. That could be a perk that you take.
Yeah.
And if you take that perk at some point during your character creation or leveling up, we still need to figure that idea out. But
yeah.
Then that allows you, by taking that perk, it allows you to now apply that the other way we're talking about. And if you don't take it, then you can't do it.
Right.
But if you want a character who does that, who, like, impresses the girls by spinning his pistol, build into it. You know, take the thing that allows you to do it and plug that into your character, as opposed to the, you know, the flat bonuses that skills offered in the past that were as situational or specific, essentially, as you could. It was kind of down to, like, you know, how well could you prosecute your case?
Yeah. And, like, I think another thing that is a good idea but didn't really work is, like, you know, making your own skills, right? Because we couldn't list out everything.
Every
right?
skill so, like, possible in the universe.
Know, gunslinger is not a skill listed in the rule book, but, like, that's just a common example we've been using. But, like, it's like, yeah, make your own skill.
Mm-hmm.
Tell, like, you know, have an idea of what it does and, like, when it's helpful and, like, when the bonus applies. And, like, I feel like that was really only utilized, like, to good effect several times. Usually people are just I take the gun skill, I take the melee skill.
If that is, like, how we wanted player characters to build their characters, I think what we should have done is, like, had no examples and said, you only get three skills. You get three skills and you have to make them up.
Maybe. But with, you know, perks, though, I think
standardizing
perk language and, like, having a shitload of examples, but then also being like, yeah, you can totally
make
your
own perk. But if there's 20 for just combat, great. And then there's, more for, like, mental stuff and personality stuff and physical movement stuff. Like what you said, if the language and the bonus structure is standardized, then the idea of making up your own, that comes fucking easy. Right. Should, ideally. Mm-hmm. You know, we said this before, but we'll see.
But, like, then you can be like, yes, I take the perk that when I twirl my guns, people like me more.
Yeah. And, you know, you could also look at, you know, whatever the vital blow idea ends up being. If that's specific to, like, you know, a sniper situation, you're like, okay, I want this, but I want it with my knife when someone's not looking. And, you know, maybe we'd have that as well. But take the thing, be like, okay, I want this damage bonus, and to get it, I have to spend an extra action. Okay. But instead of sniper rifles, I want it to be stabby stabby.
Yeah.
Real easy to make your own perk if that is the...
Right. The structure.
If the structure and the criteria for using is clearly laid out, then it's less of an abstract thing than this, like, hey, you could make up your own skill if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And people being like, ooh, you just asked me to do something I don't feel comfortable. You know, like, you put me in a creative spotlight that I didn't ask to be in suddenly.
Yeah. Another, like, way that perks just work much better in what we came up with Afterlife is, like, we also had not part of stats, but part is, like, equipment loadout, so, like, weapons and armor, but we also had, like, mutations and cybernetics.
Yeah.
Which were rarely utilized.
Mm-hmm.
But I think are extremely cool.
Yeah. The deal was, with the old version of that, mutations and cybernetics were on a table where in character creation you had a certain amount of points to spend on your loadout. And that loadout included weapons, armor, cybernetics, mutations, and also just like
mods,
utility items that changed things, that offered, you know, whatever specific bonuses. We're going to get back to that gear system at some point, but I think essentially, so, I mean, we're kind of in this part of the outline. We're talking about categories of stuff, categories of different perks. Okay, so combat, social, physical, passive buffs, like...
Right, so, like, the passive buffs would be your mods and your mutations and stuff.
But they could also be, like, you know, a darkest dungeon campsite. Like, I can't be ambushed at night.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. I have the perk that just, you know,
that
makes
says
it
that
bad.
That's, that's not what happens. Right? But it could also be, I have a knife in my arm that's concealable.
Yes. So... I think there's two more categories, or maybe one, and they're just combined, whatever. But the category of perk, which they're not perks, they are mutations and cybernetics.
I mean, they still function as perks. They structure as perks
where they stack on whatever attribute, whatever like thing you're trying to do. They provide situational numerical bonuses to them.
Yeah.
But they are flavored as things that are like weird about your character.
Well, yeah, so like really what we're talking about in categories, not the like these are categories that we have written down that you just said, but like in terms of what I was thinking of, like a category, so like everything's perk, right? There's like skill perks, like ability perks.
Sure.
Mutation perks and like cybernetic perks.
Okay, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So like combat perks could be any of them, and all of these like combat, social, physical.
Because like gun in your arm is a combat.
Right, but it's a cybernetic.
But it's a cybernetic, not a skill.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Or
and
ability
now we're
or
like
whatever.
Semantic language. We'll need to nail that down.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, yeah. I agree with that idea. Because, a cybernetic, or like, you know, mutant eyes that let you see in the dark, that'd be under the physical. That's a physical passive bonus, right?
Right. And you get that through a mutation, so, like, you gotta, like, you know, have some fun with, like, do your character's eyes look different? Like, are they cat's eyes sometimes?
How did that happen? Did you, like, walk into a experimental laser beam and
did you just, like, pull out cat's eyes and put them in your eyes and you're kind of just...
And they heal spelled into place, which is a cool idea.
Kind of gross. So that's what we are thinking in terms of like general structure and layout.
Mm-hmm.
And like, since we're designing, one problem or obstacle is like balance and like bonus or like tiers or like is it a progression thing, like you can like get two of the same perk to like double its bonus if like you level up
are there
like
the same perk but like, you know, like gunslinger 1, gunslinger 2, gunslinger 3, and if you spend all three levels, however, you know, if you spend XP to upgrade it all the way to 3, are you maxing out its bonus, or is there just one thing for gunslinger that is roughly balanced with all the other things just in terms of like its situational applicability?
Right. And then like also, how do you select your starting perks? Like, is it you get 7, take 7, or is it like, do we flow that into like the equipment stage, so it's like, you know, like old Afterlife is like you get 20 points to like purchase a weapon, but then also perks. So like you could lowball your weapons and have shitty weapons, but really good perks.
Yeah. Or is that? I mean, all right. Let me ask you something right now, and this doesn't have to stand forever. We could walk this back or change our minds about it at any time. In general. Because we didn't dive super into this, but we settled on the 11 attributes that we like, right? And we mathed out the appropriate amount of points for them. This is set. This is like a point buy system that everyone starts with the same amount of for your core attributes. How do you feel about there being some sort of like randomization to, you know, how mutated you are, how many a D6, for example, and you know, okay, so you get one or none or something like that. Like there being a dice roll element of randomness to how much stuff you get at first, and some people just start with more. And maybe there could be a functional trade-off. Like you get a couple extra points to put in something
and like,
else.
If so
you...
when we were talking about this, like the matrix of like, you know, age and like Forbidden Lands, how it's like, oh, if you're older, you're more skilled, but like, you know, you're also slower and weaker and more frail.
Slightly less attributes total.
So I like that everybody gets the same number of attributes, but maybe somewhere if we figure out some other things that could go on that like table, so like, you know, picking like, you know, age and, I don't know, state of mutation, I don't really like that, but, you know, as the example, so like, you know, the older and the more mutated you are, like, the more perks you get. But then, like, you know, that lowers your speed or, like, makes you a certain size and, like, you know, some other negative.
The size is an interesting thing just conceptually. Because I used to, before I ever played Elden Ring and just, like, had seen some Dark Souls and Bloodborne, I was like, well, it makes sense that a monster is way bigger than you, right? I still thought it was weird how a guy with a sword was fighting some of these creatures, but then I thought what was extra weird is how some human-ish type characters are just like 15 feet tall in those games, and I didn't understand that. Now I don't mind it. I get that it's part of it, whatever. They're important, or they're, you know, closer to whatever the divinity is of that. So they're bigger. Characters being bigger because they have more radiation in them or more cybernetics stuffed into their body is kind of a fun idea, and it's funny. I don't know exactly if it works for us or how it works for us, but yeah, I think there's some sort of relationship between your size, your speed, your core attributes, and the amount of stuff, the amount of like perks and extra things that you probably get access to in character creation.
All right, well, let's put a pin in that. I think I would be fine with also just being like, I don't know, get 7.
Say a number.
Everybody gets 7. But like, I think there could be a cool relationship, like spectrum or whatever the matrix.
A function.
A function.
A graph function of like, you know, if you're down here with the perks and you only took like 2, you get something
else. Because I like that idea for perks and not attributes, because I think just for me making a character is like I want to mess with the attributes myself, but I do like making decisions that like kind of affect what I have to play with, because then, you know, it's like a nice little optimization puzzle, and it can be fun to optimize, and it can be fun to anti-optimize. What's the opposite?
To
minimize?
There's got to be a word.
But anyways, make a bad character on purpose.
Yeah.
Right. Who's like old and sucks, because, you know, they're old, they get a lot of skills, but like their attributes are all mismatched with their perks or whatever. Anyways,
there is not a direct antonym to optimize, which is funny because it seems like the sort of word that would have, but it suggests like reduce, decrease, diminish, but that's not what we're saying. Optimization is optimization.
Yeah.
There should be an antonym for that. There should be an opposite of be dumb and bad on purpose.
Yeah. anyways, okay, so yeah, we'll put a pin in that. Okay. I think there's
I'm okay pinning.
There's
that.
Some ideas.
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
I think that there should be all perks should like be balanced to like be like plus one to your roll, especially so if we're doing a rollover system.
Mm-hmm.
A plus one is a 5%.
It's a 5% increase. So a and we mathed this out a little bit ago and or we looked at some data that other people had mathed out. So a classic advantage of you know, roll twice, take the better result. That equates to a plus 5 or a 20% increase.
Mm-hmm.
No. A 25, because 5. It amounts to a plus 5 on the roll, mm-hmm. essentially. You could not do advantage.
That, which is 25. Okay,
which is 25%. A 25% increase in...
success likelihood or whatever. In probability.
And not exactly, because when percents are applied, whatever.
Very powerful.
Yeah. What I was thinking is... So a plus 5, that's pretty intense. So I think a plus 1, essentially, a plus 1, a plus 3, and a plus 5, or just advantage, maybe, if that's what we prefer. So 3 tiers, right? But to make them all worth the same, those tiers, like, you only get that plus 5 in a hyper-specific situation, and that's the perk structure, right? You get the plus 1... on something that it's like, I don't know, detective training. You got a plus one whenever you're doing investigation-y things. And it's real easy to be like, does my investigation mm-hmm. detective training apply to this? Yeah, I think so. But it's just a plus one. Versus the like, I'm super vigilant, can't surprise me at night. That's advantage to not being surprised at night all the time. Very specific, not going to come up all the time. You're spending a whole perk on something that'll probably happen once per session, if that.
Mm-hmm.
Full advantage. And then the plus 3 is somewhere in the middle. You know. The plus 3 is like specific weapon types or...
do we...
And then there's things that
well, do we
don't
even
quite
have
fall
advantage
into
in
that.
Afterlife? I don't think it's written in the rules anymore.
I don't think it's written in the rules.
We have Radiance, which is a different thing, which is add another dice to your roll, which is... How does that change the probability? I think it, you know, it's much more
it's
than
better.
Five.
Yeah, it's better than a... it's better than
it's
roll
like
twice,
a plus
take 10 the better.
Then, right? Just on the average of the...
Yeah, it's a plus 10 and a half.
Yeah.
So, plus 55%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's double advantage, essentially. It's like rolling 3 times and taking the best. But that might math out a little bit different. When
I think,
you start
I think
getting into permutations and probability,
I think that
I'd
only does like
it.
75.
Yeah, then it because, scales down.
Yeah. Anyways.
Whatever.
So yeah, okay. So I was thinking along similar lines. So like if it's anything to do with like or what we would traditionally think of as a skill,
mm-hmm.
right? It's just like plus one.
Yeah.
And then hyper specific cases.
Plus one, but it's not tied to any specific attribute.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like hyper specific cases, maybe advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like the middle ground. So like the combat actions, like mm-hmm. where do those fall?
I think they fall in the middle ground, roughly. Some of them have like scales of, you know, like you get to attack 6 times with the fan, the hammer, mm-hmm. right? You got a revolver, you get to and shoot off, you know, all six at as many guys as you can see, but there's a significant, there's a penalty to range and there's a penalty to all your shots because you're using one action to attack six times. Pretty mm-hmm. cool. Needs to be balanced a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that falls in the middle. It's pretty specific use case. That specific use case can just like waste a guy or take a huge chunk out of a boss's toughness mm-hmm. if, you know, most of the shots connect. And you can kind of game how well the shots connect by how you built your character with the, you know, how many points did you put into your shoot skill or your shoot attribute. But it's reduced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's penalized because you're shooting six times. I think they sit kind of in the middle.
Yeah, well, so I think there's more trying to categorize,
yeah.
you know, in more ways. So there's like the hyper-specific advantage.
Mm-hmm. Or there's, plus five if we want to just do that, but...
Yeah.
And maybe we should. Maybe, like, these should be numerical bonuses instead so that we can then also, if through inspired roleplay or a situational thing, then you could give advantage on top of a thing.
Well, that would be radiance, wouldn't it?
Essentially. Yeah. Yeah, and maybe we don't need both. No, we don't.
Regardless.
Yeah, yeah.
A plus five or advantage in a hyper-specific. Then there's the one across the board
mm-hmm.
whenever you do a thing. And then there's the middle ground.
So another way, and I know you can't see this, audience, but we have our 11 attributes here divided into combat, physical, mental, and personal. If a perk can apply to more than one of these categories, then maybe it's plus one. It can't be more than plus one, right? But if a perk is inside of here, right? If a perk, like... Okay, say the perk is a, you know, grapple hook cybernetic, right? That's physical. But, you know, you could use that, you could use that with your strong attribute to, like, help you climb.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could use it with your quick to be like, oh, this thing is falling. I shoot my grapple wrist.
Or I get out of the way by,
yeah. So because that... that could apply to anything inside physical, but it's not a combat thing, and it doesn't help with your intelligence or whatever.
It could be a combat thing, though.
But I would say it's not allowed to, you know.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
Doesn't shoot hard enough to hurt anybody.
Well, I was thinking wrapping somebody up and pulling them around.
Yeah. I guess
that's strength.
I would let you do it.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, I would make you be rolling a strength for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think having it would be giving you any... numerical advantage in that situation. I just say, like, yeah, you can use it because, yes, you have a, you know, you've got a line, rope, whatever. Anyway, like, how many categories of attributes it can apply to, that could also be a thing. Like, the, you know, it could be like that 3-3 matrix. How specific is the situation? Maybe we use this to determine how specific the situation is. And then...
Sure. So if it's only physical,
uh-huh.
So that would be a plus three?
I think so. And then if it's like, you know, one of them, I think that's a guide. That's not something we write down like as a rule. That's a guide for us when we're creating them.
Yeah.
Because what it applies most to, unfortunately, is just the combat. Because if you're going to say, like, you know, I have sniper training, I've got advantage in this specific situation, in this specific situation being, like, using a long gun and I've spent a turn not moving, I've got advantage on my next shot, uh-huh. right? A sniper training perk. Well, that only applies to the shoot attribute, but I'm having trouble right now coming up with a version of that for personality, for, like, your scary attribute. You know, could be done though.
Yeah.
And not being able to come up with an example, a specific example off the top of my head, is not necessarily a case for or against anything right now. Because we're not, yeah, we're not right now.
I mean, like, yeah, an easy one for me coming up with a scary is... I don't know what you would call it, but, like, you know, scary grin, where it's like you grin with all your teeth and they're nasty, mutated, pointy fuckers, and so it scares everybody. Yeah. So, like, you know, advantage or plus three or something. But then, because, like, how are you going to use scary grin when you're trying to be quick, right? You can.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, maybe you have to spend a turn, like, building it up. You have to spend a turn where, like, all you do is look, you know, and then suddenly, like, you do a jump scare.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yeah, then it's like the sniper training thing. You spent a turn setting it up, and you're using it in this one specific way.
What's your time check?
Advantage. On I this forgot to, episode, to... 41.
Ugh. Okay, so that's where we're leaning to.
Yeah.
A lot of work to be done there and, like, categorizing stuff.
And if this is the way we want to move forward, a lot of that work is, like, we got to come up with specific perks and a good amount of them, like, yeah, 10 or 20 per category.
Category of everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Which puts us in the, fuck, like, 80.
I mean, depends on, you know, how many categories we have.
Yeah.
All right. So another thing in Afterlife that we were looking to roll into perks is magic.
Yeah.
Our system, our current system of Afterlife, I think, is really cool, but also underutilized / like just didn't really get.
I've been thinking about this a lot.
Didn't really make sense to other people.
Here's the thing. Well, do you want to recap what it was?
Yeah.
For folks, and then I've been thinking a lot about why this never
took off,
clicked for anybody.
So we had the version that is in, like, the book that is available on DriveThruRPG.
Hey.
There are three categories of magic. Minds, move, change.
Mm-hmm.
And each of those work off a different attribute. So those are actually shackled,
yes,
to an attribute.
And that was our thing, is like no skills are shackled to attributes except for these magic skills.
And then it was also a rule that magic skills count as two of your skills.
Yeah.
Essentially making it so if you had all three magics, that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
You weren't good at shooting a gun. You weren't good at whipping a sword.
But you had all three magic skills, which essentially made you good at everything, yeah, if you used the magic the way Dane's about to explain,
right,
the magic.
So we had those, like, categories, and no real set uses. We had this, like, here's what, like, the suggested, like, you know, here's an easy thing you could do with change magic is, like, you know, water into ice.
Yeah.
Right? Ice into water or vapor or whatever, right?
A natural change in, like, mm-hmm, matter state with the same material.
Right? That's pretty easy. But, like, a harder spell is, you know, change a tree limb into a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Changing wood into steel,
mm-hmm,
pretty hard.
Shaping it physically, understanding it enough to be able to, mm-hmm, do that.
So we had this spell sheet that was like, it was like create your own spell, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, you know, is it combat focused? Are you trying to do damage? All right, how much damage are you trying to do? What's the range that you're at,
mm-hmm,
et cetera, et cetera? And then it would spit out a difficulty,
yeah,
that you would roll against.
And it was, I think, like, functionally really well designed. Whenever I think about making a new version of this, I keep coming back to this because it, in the context of this game's functionality, it worked really well. And it had the catch-all also of, like, you know, here's five tiers of story effect.
Right, like, is it, I'm going to kill the big bad by stopping his heart.
Yeah.
Okay, like, well, okay, that's going
to
be...
We need
gonna,
to... Because if you were to build the spell, right, if you were to build the spell, like, oh, he's only 20 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's not very far range. So that amount of the difficulty, mm-hmm. pretty small. The physical strength needed to just, like, crush something, not that difficult, and, like, understanding where it is and what it is to focus it. Those three low difficulty things would make it so that, like, with a 14 or a 15, you could probably just, like...
You might be able to do
skip
that.
A boss fight, right? Mm-hmm. But that has huge narrative implications. So if you've done that, if you've undercut the difficulty of an encounter with your clever spell, there's just, like, it scales up to a certain point automatically based on its story effect.
The game master can be like, yeah, that is, like... This is, like, the climax, right? This is, if you don't do this, or, like, if you do this, you win the game. So, like, well, you know, I'm going to make it, I'm going to throw an extra 10 because it's story heavier, you know, 15.
Shouldn't be able to, and to a certain degree, that's, like, or you can really see the game master putting their thumb on the scale.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of just, like, the freedom for a magical character to do things and design their own spells and stuff.
Because we didn't put any limitations, like no spell slots or like you didn't need materials or like you didn't need spell books.
You created the
spell
in the moment and then you rolled to cast it.
Right, because like we liked the lore of that is like radiation. Characters were in tune with radiation, so like they could use the just regular background radioactivity to alter the world before them.
Yeah.
You know, in one of those three ways, like change stuff, move stuff, so like basically telekinesis, but it's not.
Yeah.
And then like mind magic, so like affecting
someone else's like brain chemistry and electro signal.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're using the radiation to directly interface with their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And thematically, I still love those schools of magic, essentially. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, the reason it never took off is because we were, like, we were asking characters to, like, build a math equation, not design. And I think that's kind of cool to, you know, to think of magic and, like, spell casting as a sort of a function of, like, a programming sort of thing, is how I imagined it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, I mean, I never played the full magic character, and maybe I should have at some point. I should have been like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be all three magic schools and not have any other abilities and just, like, push the magic system and create weird spells. What I thought people would do is, like, kind of get into the legacy of their wizard character and start like writing a spell book of stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Be like, yeah, this is, you know, this is Gorgak's, you know, ray of face melting. And it's just like your typical attack spell, right? And you know what the difficulty is for it because you built it, right?
Yeah.
You wrote it down like block coding.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the difficulty and you know what it does. And you can like shift the difficulty a little bit to shoot a little further,
right?
Or do a little bit more damage, or
hit
whatever.
More targets, or whatever, right?
And I don't know. I just like I think it's really cool. It was really good the way that is. I also like that it was different from the approved action, you know, combat perks that we had.
Mm-hmm.
It was also different from the skills. They came from skills, but they didn't apply any other way.
Yeah, I think. I also thought about it the same way. Like, the real utility and, like, genius of the system is you could make up, like, schools of magic and, like, be like, I'm all about combat magic. I have, you know, I have change magic, but, like, I'm elemental.
Yeah.
So, like, I love, you know, changing water into ice or, like, you know, fire you know, at its, you know, whatever. I love throwing fireballs.
Yeah.
Or shit like that. And like, you know, I don't know. It didn't ever get utilized, and like, was that because of the way we presented the system, or is it because, you know, just our players didn't want to engage?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
We were asking players to engage with what was essentially, you know, some super light coding,
yeah,
essentially game
building.
Design essentially. I think one, that is a little bit intimidating. I think it was really cool, but I also never fully committed to a character that did it, and now that we're talking about a new version, I'm kind of regretting that I didn't push it and give us some more insight.
It's always going to be there, buddy. It's in print.
That's true.
We can't go change those books that we have.
Nope. The physical book is on the table somewhere, so. And then the other thing is there was like, you know, it wasn't presented very thematically. It was presented very dryly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that because in order to like properly engage with it, you had to do a little bit of homework, and that homework didn't have like a cool holographic drawing of a Charizard on it, then I think those two things worked in tandem to make, you know, Magic be kind of like, the people who took Magic took it because they recognized its utility,
mm-hmm,
in bypassing or, you know, otherwise solving problems.
Yeah.
But not, it's like, it was never evocative and exciting in the context of the fiction, the way it was presented. I think it was evocative and exciting in the context of the fiction of the universe, but it wasn't presented like it was. What's that board game? What is a card game? That Wizard Battle card game where you build a spell out of, like,
literally called Wizard Battle,
I think. Just...
Or maybe it's Wizard at Battle Mountain, or Wizard Battle Mountain, or something like that.
Wizards of...
Battle Mountain? Something like that.
Okay. Battle card game.
Anyways, so we're changing Magic.
Epic Spell Wars.
Epic Spell Wars. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I recognize it. Because the only reason I bought it is because the art looked awesome. Epic Spell Wars. Duel. Epic Spell Wars of the Battle Wizards. Duel at Mount Skullfire.
Wow. What a name.
I knew it was a long, stupid name like that, but I thought that just the Battle Wizards.
Anyways, Battle Wizards.
Yeah.
So, Battle Wizards,
for anyone unfamiliar, you take turns like shooting spells at each other, and you build those spells out of three cards. And one is like a preparatory thing, one is the like type, is it a ray, is it a blast, is it a whatever. And then the third thing is like a flourish on it. What, you know, is it made of fire? Does it jump to another guy after it hits the first guy? That sort of thing. That's really fun and evocative in its visual presentation because the art of the game is, you know, the exciting and awesome part. But we didn't have anything like that going for...
Only in our minds.
Only in our minds.
So we're looking at changing it.
Yeah. We're looking... And I don't know how committed I am to this. Part of me wants to, like, go back and make that version work.
Yeah, and maybe we do.
But we're also looking at the idea of Magic being a function of this perks.
There's a big potential for Magic to be perks. Maybe it is just one perk that is expensive, and so, like, however the fuck that works. But, like, it's just change Magic.
Yeah.
Then we can, you know, do the build your spell thing.
Or maybe we break those three down into like 12, you know, some that have like combat applicability, you know, some that have mental interface, some that, you know, one of the things, the like, you know, move was like to earthbend, essentially, to, like, you know, I manipulate the physical matter around mm-hmm. me to build, like, a ladder or a handhold or get through an obstacle. Stuff like that. And that got used so much that that would almost be a perk to, you know, the earthbending perk for, mm-hmm. you know, make a trail, make a path. A trailblazing spell, essentially, that just, like, whatever the situation is, you can... But then that gets into this, like, you know, this old school D&D thing where a bunch of, like, hyper-specific named spells are what you do, and you pick from a list.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that that's necessarily what we want either. With this perks thing, we're talking about striking a middle ground between 1,000 D&D spells and make up your own spell every time you want to cast a spell.
Here's what I was thinking is we do perks that categorize the magic.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, battle magic.
Yeah.
It does not belong to change, move, or mind.
Right.
It is battle magic, and you use your hit stat.
Sure.
Right? So it says you can use magic as an attack that does this much damage. And that's it.
And that's it, yeah. I don't hate that idea. Basically, okay, if we did it that way, battle magic,
mm-hmm.
Is that its own single thing? Or is, like, do we have the original three schools?
I think those stay in the book.
Okay.
But, like, they are just lore now. And, like...
Because I think, like...
You get to decide what your battle magic looks like.
All right. And then, so, with, like, make magic... Or not make magic. To change magic, right? Mm-hmm. The, We don't want to make it so that, like, you know, doing a specific thing is harder to roll, right? But to, like, you know, to change pond water into diesel fuel mm-hmm. for your car. Like, you've run out of fuel in the desert, but you found a spring. But you've got a wizard, uh-huh. all right? To just, like, cast the spell, you could do it, but to, like, do it enough or successfully, mm-hmm. depending on the difficulty of the situation or the, like, you know, the critical... The difficulty of the spell you're trying to cast... You have to succeed at it more times, whatever. You know, like the skill check thing where, like, you get 6 chances to do it, and in those 6 chances you gotta hit, like, at least 4 of them. If you mm-hmm. don't hit 4 of them, you've failed at this, you know, you've failed at this spell, whatever. And in that way, we don't have to change the magical description of, like, what is change magic, right? You have the change magic perk. You can try to change magic anything, but size and complexity will just, like, increase how many you have to do, essentially. Or do you imagine a sliding scale of difficulty, or that you can spend XP to improve your magical perk?
Those are great questions. So for
which we don't have to answer now. We're at an hour. We can.
For change magic, I think it would be split up into.
I think what we're steering towards is we're losing the original three because we've got a split change into,
like... I think those are good descriptions of, like, how magic works and, like, it could be any of those.
Yeah.
But I think we lose the rigid, oh, can you do change magic, move magic, or mind magic? If you're magic, you could do any of them.
Right, and we're talking utility applications like battle magic, which you get to decide.
Yeah. But, like, for that example, the pond water into diesel fuel change magic, I don't know exactly how I would categorize it. I don't have a clear answer, but it would be something akin to, like, the perk would be like liquid changer or something like that.
Yeah, I understand.
Where it's like it uses your senses.
Yeah.
To, or you know, it's on your sense.
It's off your sense role. Yeah. And it's about you understanding, like, instinctively or intellectually, the chemical composition of something and taking a fluid, a body of fluid, and turning it into something else.
Right. But only for fluids.
But only for fluids. Right.
You know, there would be another perk for solids, I mean, poop.
Solids, poop. But also maybe that's it. Maybe, you know, there's a solids, a liquids, and a gases.
Yeah.
Which is poop, pee, and farts.
You're, put it on the board. The states of matter can be expressed in pee, poo, or fart.
Pee, poop, fart. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm down with that. Just conceptually. So. Change, move, mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And 10 to 20 specific types of magical application.
Right. And, like, some of them are obviously, like, change your mind magic or move magic. Mm-hmm. Right. So, like, battle magic could be any of them.
Right.
Right. But, like, maybe there's, like, a friendly, you know, magic.
Yeah.
Right. That helps you with a friendly role. That's, like, obviously mind magic.
Sure.
Right. So it's, like, you know, infiltrate somebody's mind to change their perception of you or something like that. I don't know. And then, like, yeah, like the liquid one, like, that is change magic. You cannot do that with mind or move. That is a change magic perk.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do we present that? Like, where does the magic descriptions go? I don't know.
Yeah, I think about this. Well, that's a bit of dead air. Maybe that's a good place to...
Might as well recap.
Yeah. Okay. We started by talking about... Well, we reminded y'all. We're thinking about rebuilding or revising or new editioning Afterlife. This episode began with a discussion about the difference between perks, skills, and attributes. D&D calls them abilities, but that's fucking wrong.
Fuck 'em.
Abilities are for something different. An ability is more like a perk, a thing that you can do situationally. So we talked about the difference between those things. Usually, skills go on attributes, and they provide a, you know, an increased but situational roll bonus. Perks are even more specific and sometimes have roll bonuses, sometimes just like passively change how you interact with stuff, whatever. Most of what we talked about is the different ways we see perks being kind of the backbone of character customization and the way you interact with encounters in Afterlife. Different categories, like the categories of attributes, physical, combat, mental, personality, but also not subcategories, but like types, I guess. You could have a combat thing that is a training, or that is a mutation, or that is a cybernetic enhancement, augmentation, whatever. You could also have those for any of the other sort of categories. Types and categories, those kind of mean the same thing. The language is messy right now, but we would nail it down. And then, once we kind of worked through all that, and the concept of balancing situation versus how situationally useful it is, or how generally useful it is, versus how significant a numerical bonus it imparts. We talked about magic as a function of perks. We recapped our old magic system, which was sort of like a block coding. Build the spell effect that you want, and when you have that at the end, it also comes with a difficulty value to cast it. we liked that idea, but we talked about why it didn't work. We talked about some new ways that, in the same language as the perk system, a magic system could also be presented. And as usual with this designing stuff, we like all these ideas, but we're far from any conclusion or finished product. We are
still cooking.
Yeah, this is we're still in the kitchen. So hopefully you enjoyed that. It's maybe not the most entertaining radio, but it is entertaining for us to talk about and work on. And that was the whole point of starting this show in the first place, is we like talking about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're documenting it and sharing it for anyone who might get anything out of it. So, if you like it, and like us, and like what you hear, and want to check out some more stuff, head on over to 2HGM.com, or depending on when you listen to this, head on over to just our Patreon. Right now we have the website. Soon we're going to have a free Patreon tier where just some downloadable goodies and links live. But for now, the website's still extant. First thing you'll see is our original version of Afterlife, available at drivethrurpg.com. We haven't said this in a while. I think it's $15 for the PDF. $20 or $25 for the 25. Printed book. But you buy the printed book, you get the PDF for free. Keep the print for yourself. Be the game master. Hand out the PDF. Email it to all your little friends. That's why we did it that way. We don't care how often you share the PDF. And it's pretty fun. Even though we're talking about ways it could be improved and a new, better version of it. The original version is still cool.
It's functional.
Yeah, it's functional. Or use your own system and just use the fiction of it, because we did a lot of work on that too. There's a map, there's an atlas, there's factions, and there's quest adventure hooks and fiction in the book and some illustrations and stuff. So you could use any game system, just if you like the world. Give it a whirl. That part I don't think we're going to change very much. The setting and the fiction.
Yeah.
I think we're going to keep that mostly the same, maybe with a few changes and additions, but join us next time for another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. Thank you to the Burning Saviors, as always, for the use of their song Pontillo's Finest to see intro and outro to our show, and we'll see y'all next time.
Catch you on the flip side, motherfucker.